You are listening to the Drunk Mormon Missionary Podcast. Your host is Elder Ron, the Drunk Mormon Missionary. Every week he gets drunk and brings you the Drunk Mormon Gospel. His word is the drunken word of God. So sit back, pour yourself a drink and enjoy.
Hey, this is Elder Ron, and you're listening to episode 2 of Drunk Mormon Missionary, brought to you by The Elder Ronk Show and the Army of Shercocking Elders of Latter-day Saints. Hey, so this is Elder Ronk, and maybe you've already listened to episode 2 of Drunk Mormon Missionary.
That would be episode 1.
Episode 1. Thank you. This is episode 2. And I am Elder Ronk, and I've been drinking a whole lot tonight. I've been drinking White Russians with my investigator,
Eric
the roommate, who is very, very interested in learning all that he can about Mormon theology by a drunk Mormon missionary. All right, so episode 1 was all about the first vision.
It was.
What was the underlying theme of episode 1?
The underlying theme was fucking goats is bad. 14-year-olds having visions in the forest. And God hates goat fucking.
God really hates goat fucking. And that's why he brings
plagues
and
rains of fire, floods.
And prophets.
So
to teach people, he's got to tell the prophets that goat fucking is bad.
Right.
So, in 18-something or another, he appeared to Joseph Smith. What was that year? 1820, he appeared to Joseph Smith.
I was about to say 1820.
1820, he appeared to Joseph Smith and said, goat fucking is bad. Don't join any of the other religions, right? Hence, Joseph Smith became the first prophet of this modern, first prophet seer and revelator of this modern dispensation.
Which we determined is kind of like an era.
Like an era. Because there haven't been prophets since Joseph Smith for a long fucking time, since New Testament. And if you're Muslim, since
Muhammad.
But Mormons don't really recognize Muhammad as a prophet.
I know we're going to get into this later, but were there prophets in the New World?
We will get into that. Mm-hmm. That's the Book of Mormon. All right, so episode 2, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Book of Mormon or the Golden Bible that Mormons don't like to call the Golden Bible. That's what like anti-Mormons call the Golden Bible, or the American Bible. We're going to talk about the Book of Mormon and how that came to pass, and how Joseph Smith received more revelation about not fucking goats in the New World, because Jesus was as opposed to fucking goats in the Old World, and he equally was opposed to fucking goats in the New World.
Anywhere there's goats, God's opposed to fucking them.
God's very opposed to fucking goats. And the Book of Mormon doesn't really get into goat fucking as much as the Old Testament does. But nonetheless.
Well, you've already got the Old Testament.
We got the Old Testament.
It's well established.
And it's well established that goat fucking is a bad thing. So this episode of Drunk, what are we calling this again? I'm pretty fucked up right now. Drunk Mormon Missionary. We're going to get into the Book of Mormon and how Joseph Smith got the Book of Mormon from the angel Moroni. Do you know that like you can tell when someone doesn't know anything about Mormonism is they call the Moroni. Because it
like
looks
he's
like he's Italian.
Like some sort of
spaghetti.
Big Joe Moroni.
Big Joe Moroni. Yeah, exactly. And but no, it's Moroni. Now you've seen the temples, right? Like in Salt Lake and all over. We have one in Mesa here. Like, okay, so this podcast is out of Phoenix, Arizona right now. And you have the Mesa Temple, but the Salt Lake Temple, we'll take that. And you have the big golden statue with the dude blowing the trumpet and the trombone or whatever the fuck he's playing up there. And that's the Angel Moroni.
Yeah, I remember as a kid driving by the temple in Bellevue, Washington, a lot.
Did they have an Angel Moroni on there?
Moroni on the top.
With the trumpet? No, big horn. Yeah. Now he's not a jazz player, he's an angel. I think jazz players are a lot cooler than angel, but that's my own personal preference there. Anyway, so this episode we're going to talk about Moroni, and we're going to talk about the visions that Joseph Smith had with Moroni, and we're going to talk about gold plates. Hence, that's where the Gold Bible comes from, are these gold plates.
So should we start with a little background on who Moroni is? We'll get into a lot more of that later.
I think we'll get into that a little bit later about who Moroni was. All right, so anyway, so we had the first vision, episode one, like Jesus appears to Joseph Smith and goes, blah, 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 don't join any churches. They're all bad, they're all evil, and they're not to me, and God is anti-religion because he hates religion at the time, which I actually can kind of get behind that. I'm not really for religion myself, and the idea of God not being for religion kind of gives me a little hope in the idea of God, to tell you the truth, at that point. So, all right, so the first vision happens in 1820, and Joseph Smith was 14. So 3 years actually happens, and I don't know what Joseph Smith's doing at this point. He's probably, like, farming land, helping his dad.
Keeping goats out of his mind.
Keeping goats out of his mind. He's very, very much aware of the goat fucking prohibition at this point. And so, you know, he's doing his thing in upstate New York in Palmyra. I think it's Palmyra. And, you know, 3 years pass, you know, and he's kind of living his life. And he's doing his thing and... you know, staying away from goat fucking religions, doing a good job at that for the 3 years.
Going to school dances.
Going to school dances, kind of hanging out. Do. Yeah. And, all right, so 1823, it's September of 1823, actually. And Joseph Smith goes to bed, and he decides before he goes to bed, he's going to do his all Hail Marys. Actually, probably not Hail Marys, but he's going to pray. And he's going to ask forgiveness of God because, you know, he's thinking about the neighbor's daughter in impure ways. And
He's a teenager,
you know. He's probably repenting of masturbatory habits late at night and shit like that. So he goes to his bed and he starts praying to God for forgiveness of all his sins and all his follies. And... I'm assuming that he's not goat fucking. I hope to God that he's not goat fucking. One of the sins.
I think if you have God directly tell you not to do that.
Not to do that, that he's not doing it. But he's probably having impure thoughts, right. You know, about like...
He's probably playing tricks on his teacher, yeah. Or things like that. Maybe use some bad words.
Some bad words, darn or frick.
Smoked a cigarette behind the barn.
Or did they have cigarettes? Maybe a pipe? Mm-hmm. Do you think? Yeah. Did they have cigarettes back then?
I think so.
You're the history major. I wouldn't know.
They probably had to roll them themselves. I don't know if they had any.
All right. So he goes and he starts praying to God in his room. And wants to know, like, hey, dude, like, am I cool with you? I'm really sorry about those impure thoughts I was having. Really sorry about that cigarette I smoked, like, behind the locker room at the gym. And so when he was calling upon God, this light appeared in his room, and it increased, and he describes it as bright as noonday in his room. And then suddenly a person appears hovering above his bed. I'd be freaking out at this point.
Right.
like, I'd be going, like, what the fuck is going on here? There's like a dude in a white robe, and I can see his fucking tits, like, below his white robe. And I'm guessing that this dude's probably free-balling at this point, too. And he's, like, down on this floor, so he's probably got, like, this like, money shot of, like, angel balls hanging free-balling. Like, do you think angels, like, free-ball?
In the shirt-cocking church, I'm sure they do.
Well, I mean in the shirt-cocking religion, they probably free-ball. Like, who would wear Hanes? Like, he wouldn't be wearing Hanes under a robe.
Maybe a loincloth.
Like a loincloth, do you think? Maybe. Or like a holy diaper?
I'm not up on angel fashion, but it seems reasonable that God wouldn't want his angels running around with their balls hanging out.
Probably not. I would hope that he didn't get, like, a money shot of, like, this angel's balls.
Well, yeah, you don't want to
get this. Because, like, he's hanging out over this over Joseph Smith's bed at this point.
You don't want to give the
teenager the impression. So, like, you know, you imagine, like, it's, like, 6 feet above the bed, like, 6 feet above the ground, and you're, like, on your knees, and you're looking up the dude's robe. They're going to be balls.
Maybe that's where the light comes from.
They're going to be fucking balls there. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe that's where the light comes from.
I don't know. Anyway, things to ponder.
Right.
Angel's balls.
So this is an angel.
He's an angel who had on loose rope. That's why I'm asking. Because, like, the literature right here says loose rope of most exquisite whiteness. Okay. And it was whiteness beyond anything earthly. And that he had ever seen, Joseph Smith. And the hands were naked, and the arms were naked, and everything was naked. And there's a lot of naked talk here in this description of this angel.
Which is a bit disturbing.
The appearing of it, that's why I'm wondering about the balls at this point.
I mean, we don't specifically get any answer to
the question. He doesn't talk about balls in this, but I'm hoping. Well, it doesn't really matter. Like it is, it's 2016. I'm okay with balls, right?
Right.
Right. If there were balls.
If Joseph Smith had any, like, interest in balls.
You gotta wiggle it. All right.
If Joseph Smith had any interest in balls, I'm sure we would have heard about it at this point.
All right. But the countenance was truly like lightning. And that's Joseph Smith's words there. Okay. And then the angel introduced himself, which was very nice. The angel introduced. You should always, as an angel, introduce yourself. You know, like, hey, dude, my name is Moroni.
So this is an angel, kind of like the angel Michael or Gabriel.
Like Michael, Gabriel.
But this is Moroni.
This is Moroni. And he says, hey, dude, I'm Moroni. And I'm going to tell you about some records from the Nephites. Now, if you're not a Mormon like I was, and if you're not like a Utah person like Eric was, what the fuck is a Nephite?
I can't keep them straight.
The Nephites, right? All right, so the Nephites, the Moroni, the angel, tells Joseph Smith about Nephite records. And the contents of these records, and there's an interpreters buried with it, and then gave Joseph Smith a vision of the Hill Cumorah, which I very conveniently was located really close to Joseph Smith's house. So it's kind of convenient that, like, that God, who is against goat fucking, chose Joseph Smith to be this prophet in this new dispensation, and had these records of these Nephites, who were inhabitants of the Americas. The white inhabitants, not the dark ones. The dark ones were Lamanites. Right. We'll get into the that Nephites, when we get
this
into
is a lost tribe.
The Nephites, a lost tribe, right. And that they happened to bury these golden plates in a hill called Cumorah, very close to the farm where Joseph Smith lived.
Maybe that's why he was chosen.
Very freaking, like, if he lived, like, in Nebraska... That would have been really shitty, because it's like, well, there's this Hill Cumorah that's, like, fucking in New York, but that's where it is. But you're in Nebraska. So it's kind of like maybe location. God was like, you're close.
Yeah, that Joseph
you're
Smith
pretty
guy
close.
Seems like a
he's pretty he's a decent dude, and he's close to Kamar to this hill where these plates are buried. Okay. So and the Moroni also said, "Hey, dude, don't show these plates to anybody. They're secret. They're secret plates. Shh. God doesn't want." Tell anybody about the secret plates, but I'm going to show you where the secret plates are. Right?
Which is a little bit odd.
It's a little bit odd. Yeah, that's how God works. It's like, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't show these to anybody, but I got secret plates hidden in a hill very close to your farm. They're very, very, very close. You can go see them, but shh. So, and then Moroni started kind of quoting the Bible and started quoting shit from Malachi and Isaiah and Acts and blah, 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 you know. And, where the fuck does, like, an angel, well, they wrote the Bible, so they would have access to the source work.
They're ethereal beings. They can...
Yeah, they would have access to the source work of the Bible, to quote to Joseph Smith.
Well, they can go talk to the big guy anytime they want anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But anyway, they're quoting the Bible. They're quoting these things to Joseph Smith about the golden plates. All right. And if you're ever interested, Malachi 3:4, Isaiah 11, and Acts 3:22-23. Go look that shit up if you want. I don't really give a fuck. It's okay. So Moroni left, and Joseph Smith's kind of laying in bed going, holy fuck, what the fuck was I smoking tonight?
Right. I just saw some angel balls.
I saw some angel balls.
This guy talked to me.
Talk to me about magic gold plates and a fucking hill near my house. And as Joseph Smith was, like, contemplating the shit, Moroni appears again. And he's all, and repeats everything. Says, hey, dude. And just in case he thought you were, like, smoking some weed
eating
back there
mushrooms.
And eating those mushrooms and taking some LSD. No, I'm going to tell you everything again exactly the same way I told you the first time. So he repeats his whole fucking message about gold plates, the Hill Cumorah, Bible verses. So
kind of a flashback.
Flashback. Joseph Smith's like, whoa, man. Excuse me. Ugh. All right, that's me. Oh, that's not Joe Smith or the Holy Spirit. That's the vodka.
Right.
I need some more. Just a sec. I really like White Russians. That's like the drink tonight, by the way, is White Russians. So if you're wanting to follow this podcast, have a White Russian tonight. Future episodes, we have absinthe, we're going to have Bloody Marys, we're going to have whiskey, we're just going to get fucked up, okay? All right, so let's get back to the story.
This is what they would have been drinking back then, too, is cider.
Cider. What would they be drinking? You're the history major, so what would they be drinking?
This would be cider.
Cider?
Yeah.
Cider's good, too, but this fucks me up really, really fast and really good. All right, so let's get back to the story. So Moroni comes the second time. And he repeats everything that he told good old Joe Smith the first time. And he comes and he adds more detail this time about judgments and shit that's gonna starts prophesying Joe Smith about judgments, about last days, about like real angel shit, dude. Which is kind of cool, except for the angel balls. I'm still kind of hung up about angel balls.
They would be probably most exquisite balls ever. It's an angel.
Hopefully not a boner.
Hopefully not.
Do angels get hard-ons? That would be the question I would ask at this point. What do you think? What's your opinion? Angel hard-ons? No.
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 Well, there wouldn't be any purpose for an angel hard-on. What would they do with it?
Why the fuck would you want to be an angel then if you couldn't get a hard-on? I kind of like hard-ons. Like, hard-ons are like really enjoyable. And, like, if I was an angel and I couldn't get a hard-on, what's the fucking point at that point? literally that maybe, point.
Maybe they're supposed to be beyond that.
I don't know.
They get the direct presence of God. Shit, so.
All right. Angel anyway. Balls, besides the point. All right. Moroni goes away.
It's too bad Joseph Smith's not here. We could ask him.
And Joseph Smith, yeah, yeah. That would be a question I would ask Joseph Smith. Angel Balls.
Corey Wins want to know.
What do Angel Balls look like?
Right.
So Moroni goes away, and Joseph Smith, pretty fucking wide awake at that point. I would be too. Like, you've had two Angel Ball, like, T-ball, two teabagging experiences with an angel that night, telling you about gold plates and hills and Camorras and judgments and Bible verses. I would be pretty fucking awake at that point. No, I wouldn't either. I'd be kind of like tripping out.
Right.
All right. So he's laying in his bed and he's like, whoa, what the fuck was that shit? That's twice now that this dude has appeared above me in my bed telling me about shit. And as he was contemplating it again, guess what happened?
Showed up a third time.
He showed up a fucking third time. The angel Moroni showed up a third time.
That was a good guess.
Shirt cocking with the angel balls again. And repeats everything again. Tells him the same shit. Like, I'm going to show you some fucking shit, dude. I'm going to show you some fucking gold plates in a fucking hill near your house about ancient Americans who lived here long time ago. And they wrote their shit on some fucking gold plates. And there's going to be some shit. And I'm going to show you this shit. You better fucking listen to me. All right. So, by that time, like, the sun's coming up. Literally, it says here, Joseph said he heard the cock crow. Angel Balls again.
Right.
And all three visitations. So this is kind of like Scrooge in Christmas Carol. Right, where like he had got visited three times angels, throughout
or that,
the night.
Spirit of past, present, and future.
Yeah, talk closer to the mic.
The spirit of past, present, and future.
Yeah.
Except this is Moroni three times.
Moroni three times. So it's a lot like Christmas Carol, like right. Ebenezer Scrooge and shit. All happened in one night. One night. So he gets up and he goes into the fields because he's a farmer. He's going to work with his dad and his brother Alvin and shit like that. And he starts feeling a little tired and a little feeble, right? Yeah, he's been up all night talking with a fucking shirt-cocking angel about
gold
plates.
This isn't just like
insomnia
either. This is like angel with his balls hanging out.
Angels with his fucking balls hanging
over
your bed. Hanging over your bed. So,
So he's tired.
And his dad, kind of noticing what's going on, said, hey, dude, you're kind of like fucking shit up here out in the field.
Right.
Why don't you just go home? You look like you didn't sleep all night. Why don't you just go home? Go get some rest. Me and Alvin, we'll take care of the shit. Don't fucking worry about
it. Dad was a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, son's like obviously hungover from whatever he did last night.
Right.
You have no clue. And you're like, dude, you're fucking useless. Just go home. Like, me and Alvin will take care of shit. So Joseph Smith started going home, and he climbed over a fence, and then he fell down unconscious. And then he sees Moroni again standing over his head with that fucking robe and those fucking angel balls again, kind of teabagging him. And he tells him the same shit that he told him three times the night before. And he added, he said, hey, dude, you should go tell your dad about the teabagging and the angel balls and the book and the golden plates and Hell Camorra and shit. All right. And so Joseph Smith went to his dad and he said, hey, dude, so this is why I'm all fucked up today and I can't, like, do shit in the field. Like, some fucking angel appeared to me last night, told me about teabagging and golden plates and a hill and shit like that.
And some judgments and some other shit.
And his dad was like, whoa, dude, I totally believe you, son. Yeah, that shit came from God, man. Like, you got it.
So you
got.
Makes you wonder about his father a little bit.
Oh, do the.
Makes you wonder.
Your mic. There you go.
So it makes you wonder about his father a little bit.
Well, his father.
His father's a nice guy, but he might be a little simple, too.
Maybe just a little bit. I would have been like, dude, you like drink. Like, how come there's no fucking beer in the keg anymore?
Right.
You're drunk. You're hungover. And that's why, like, that. No, his dad was like, oh, yeah, I'm totally cool. I'm down with that shit. Like, an angel appeared to you last night, told you that, like, there's some gold plates in the hill. Like, fuck yeah, that's fucking, that's the awesome. Shiz.
Right.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, you need to do what the fucking angel tells you to do. So, Joseph Smith, I'm guessing Joseph Smith probably went and took a nap.
So he's already broken that one rule, though. He wasn't supposed to tell anybody.
No, he wasn't supposed to show anybody.
Oh, okay.
So but he will, like, God, like, later on, will learn that he actually gets to show a couple of people the fucking gold plates. Right. Like, there's the three witnesses who get to see the gold plates. And they get to see the angel Moroni freeballing. And the eight witnesses who Joseph Smith shows the gold plates to, but they don't get to see the freeballing Moroni. Okay. So Joseph Smith goes to the Hill Cumorah, which, like I said, was very conveniently located right there near his farm.
So less than a day's journey away.
Wasn't like he had to go, like, down to Georgia or some shit to go find it. It was, like, right there, you know, 20-minute hike.
Wow, it was close.
Someplace like that. Oh, boy. Excuse me. Yeah, it's alcohol. All right. So it was really close. So he goes to the hill because he remembers it from the vision from the night before, and he probably finds like a big rock or some shit like that, and gets like, there's all these Mormon pictures of like Joseph Smith with like a fucking log, like
levering the rock
and shit, and gets into this box. And so he looks, and he's gonna remove the plates, and then Moroni appears again and says, like Newman,
right.
I'm envisioning Newman from Jurassic Park and the hacker thing. And Moroni says, "No, dude, it's not time yet. You can't take them yet. I'm not going to let you take them. Nope, not going to happen. You're not ready. You have to wait." And he saw, here's what we're going to do. So I want you to come here next year at the same bat time, same bat place, and we will talk about you taking these plates because there's shit you got to do.
So Moroni's kind of like a big tease.
He's kind of big tease. He's like, nah, you're not ready. You can't take the plates yet. All right. So it's kind of said, like, within the course of the year that some other angels appeared from God to and kind of like started teaching Joseph Smith more stuff about the Book of Mormon or about the gold plates and about what God was wanting to do and God's big like 5-year plan for restoring his church and the gospel and blah 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 blah. Alright, and Joseph Smith would go every year to the same Hill Cumorah thing. And every year the Moroni would appear freeballing and give him more instructions and teach him more things about what God wanted, and he would describe the people, the Nephites and the Lamanites, who were, all right, so we're going to get into Book of Mormon stuff a little bit later when I get into drunk Book of Mormon stories, which should be pretty interesting. But basically, they were like, Moroni taught that, like, all right, there were like the white people here and
Nephites.
The Nephites, and they were the dark people here, the Lamanites, and they came from Israel
and, on a boat.
On a boat, and they established a civilization, and they hated each other because the whiteies hate the darkies. Is that racist?
It kind of establishes what kind of the way they
Okay, are. I'm not saying this. This is Mormon doctrine. Right. So if it's racist, Mormon doctrine is racist, which it is.
Right.
But
we'll get into that later.
But basically, the whiteies hated the darkies, and the darkies hated the whiteies, and the whiteies were always good, and they were the Nephites, and God loved the whiteies and hated the darkies, and the darkies were always like tormenting the whiteies. And it was really racist shit. And we'll get into that shit later in the Book of Mormon, because you need to know that there is an inherent racism within this shit.
Right.
And it's fucked up. All right. And I'm like drunkenly saying I am not racist, but the Book of Mormon is racist. A lot of Mormon doctrine. Now, they've for lack of a better word, they've whitewashed a lot of the racism of early Mormon theology. We're gonna untidy that a little bit later, because it really is some racist shit. Is some fucked up racist shit.
The end result is that when Europeans came over, they found the Lamanites
because the Lamanites killed the Nephites,
right?
And so, like, in your mind right now, before we get in the Book of Mormon, Nephites are the white people. The Lamanites are the dark people, and the Nephites are the chosen people. The Lamanites are the evil people.
Does this
fucked up racist shit?
Cain and Abel.
No, a little bit, but Mormon theology gets into that too. And right. We can talk about that
We'll get on that later.
A little bit. We'll get into that when eventually, if I ever get into D&C, because we'll get into the Spencer Kimball and like. The revelation in 1978?
Somewhere around there,
where Kimball finally says, hey, guess what? God isn't racist anymore.
Right.
And thus saith the Lord, don't fuck goats and don't be racist anymore, because it's 1978 and we should stop being racist.
Post-civil rights,
all that type of shit, revelation. All right? But all the fucking racism, this is where it stems. Nephites, Lamanites. Nephites, white, good. Lamanites, dark, bad. All right? So Moroni teaches that to Joseph Smith about what happens here. And this happens for about every three years. Joseph Smith comes and meets Moroni at the Hill of Cumorah, gets to look at the plates. He doesn't
his own missionary lessons.
He doesn't get to touch them yet. Doesn't get to do anything. He just gets to look in this fucking rock box and go like, "Oh, gold plates. They're pretty. Teach me more, Angel Moroni, with your balls hanging from." I really do hope his robe was long enough. I'm kind of cool with it, with free balling angels, though. I am a shirtcocker.
Right.
And I do have a church based on shirtcocking. So it's kind of cool to think that an angel of God shirtcocks.
Right.
To some degree or another.
It'll all be interpretation.
Oh.
It seems a little bit.
I think my interpretation. Interpretation is the correct one. All right. So
I think the Mormon Church has a different interpretation. Most likely.
More than likely.
It's because it is a little immodest for an angel.
It would be. He's probably wearing, and probably in the Mormon mindset, he's probably wearing magic underwear.
Maybe we should ask President Monson, because he's probably seen.
President Monson doesn't even know what his name is right now, because he's senile. I don't think he would be a good source right now.
So we might have to wait for a new
prophet. We need to wait for him to die, and then we get a new prophet, and we can ask the new prophet. Right. Because Prison Monson.
Can you see the angel's balls?
Can you see angel balls?
Right.
That would be a good question. All right. eventually, Joseph Smith gets the gold plates and the Urim and Thummim. The Urim and Thummim are these magic goggles that Joseph Smith gets with the book, with the gold plates.
Urim and Thummim is kind of a ridiculous name.
It's in the Old Testament, dude. Huh? Okay. It's an Old Testament thing, too. But yeah, it's kind of cool, huh? Right. But he gets these magic goggles that he gets to be able to translate the golden plates into English, modern English. Hence, we get the Book of Mormon. That story comes a little bit later.
Right.
But anyway, that's the story of the angel Moroni and how, where the gold plates, how Joseph Smith gets the gold plates.
This is basically the foundation of the Book of Mormon.
This is the foundation of the Book of Mormon, where the Book of Mormon comes from.
Right.
So, anyway, that is the end of episode 2 of Drunk Mormon Missionary and my investigator. Eric, what do you think of all this poppycock?
Yeah, it's still a little suspicious. Right now, it's just still just Joseph Smith.
What are you talking about? You don't believe this already?
Not yet.
I thought I'm teaching this in such a way that you would for sure be converted by now. Are you ready to be a Mormon?
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet? All right.
We need a little bit more than just Joseph Smith seeing all this stuff and experiencing all this stuff. Like, when we get to the witnesses, and we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. I'm gonna get the bathtub ready for baptism. Right now. Except I can't fully like immerse you in the bathtub.
So
there.
It's not just pouring a little water. It's like
you
actually.
Nah, you gotta like fucking drown those fuckers when you baptize them in the Mormon faith. Anyway, episode 2 of Drunk Mormon Missionary. Cheers.
Cheers.
I think it went well.
Yep,
all
right. I believe.
All right. Well, stay tuned for episode 3. Episode 3. Like, we're gonna have to take a break from the Book of Mormon. Because we gotta stick by like normally at this point I've told the first vision, and like we believe in prophets, Mormons believe in prophets, Mormons believe in God, revelation, apostasy. That's the next one.
Okay.
So we're gonna talk in the next episode the reason why Joseph Smith had to restore, because this is a restoration movement church where like things were lost and it's up to Joseph Smith to return those things.
Right, because all the other religions out there are apostate.
They're all apostate. So we're going to talk next. The next episode is going to be about episode 3. Stay tuned for episode 3. Will be about apostasy. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Well, you're listening to the Elder Wrong Show. I am your drunk Mormon missionary, Elder Wrong, and I hope you enjoyed this lesson, this episode. Stay tuned for episode 3, man. Can you wait? Are you excited?
It's gonna be tough.
Is this exciting shit?
Yes.
This is exciting shit. All right, all right. Tally ho. May sure, Kirk and Jesus bless you. Amen.